Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
I do have some slides because I wanted to show you a little bit of statistics as well in terms of how we use our fitness to practice information and evidence to build and develop the standards for nursing and midwifery care. I should start by saying, as the regulator of nurses and midwives, and actually the largest regulator in the UK in terms of healthcare, but also Europe, our core mission is to protect the public by setting the standards really high. And I was very interested listening to Dr. Carter's presentation in terms of sharing of good practice and innovation. The regulator's role is to look at that good practice positively and to use it in the development of standards. And I guess in my presentation, within the next 10, 15 minutes, I will show you how we do that and what kind of methodologies and systems we have in place to make sure that this good practice doesn't get lost, you know, but actually is used effectively in that process. I was asked to focus my presentation on fitness to practice, so what I want to do today is to give you some statistics first of how the numbers are in terms of our what's coming through our fitness to practice processes, but also to show you some of the allegations that we have recently and the themes that come out of the panels and the cases, and then how do we use those in terms going forward in terms of the standards development. And then my next step would be very much to tell you what are the key four or five areas we're looking at for this year and the next year to come. So just as an introduction, in terms of our fitness to practice function, as most of you will be aware, we are mainly concerned with issues of professional misconduct, convictions and cautions, lack of competence and health-related problems. Some statistics. In 2009 and 2010, we had on the register 662,283 nurses and midwives, whereas now 667,072. So there is an increase. In terms of referrals, as you can see, there's quite a significant increase. And this is something that's happening across health regulators. So the GMC, the HPC, all the other health regulators are experiencing similar situation, and we all feel, we have discussed this collaboratively, that this comes from, as Dr. Carter mentioned, inquiries, public concern, the public being better informed, more interested in looking at areas of good and equally bad practice. However, in terms of the investigation and in terms of the sanction, as you can see, although there is a slightly increase in sanctions, the actual striking off has been reduced. This is mainly because of the better management, if you like, of the caseload, I would say internally, but also in terms of how we, the better collaboration we have with employers, and particularly directors of nursing, heads of midwifery. Some of you will be aware that we hold monthly events called Meet the NMC, and we've been holding those for the last 18 months, where we have about 20 or 30 directors of nursing coming to the NMC once a month, and we discuss in a workshop manner issues around our policy development function, our standards development, and our fitness to practice. We believe that this has helped enormously in terms of the managing better the referrals and the investigation process and working better with employers. I just want to give you a list of allegations and what has come through our fitness to practice cases recently. And we have, I've got two slides of those. We have examples of this involving dishonesty, patient abuse, lack of competence, in general failure to maintain adequate records, falsification of records, maladministration of medicines, neglect and poor standard of care, unsafe clinical practice. But equally, poor communication, failure to collaborate with colleagues, failure to report incidents, failure to act in an emergency, serious convictions and cautions, including events outside the workplace. And actually, we are experiencing quite a lot related to social networking, particularly as well, obviously with the technology advances there, and serious ill health. I suppose I would like to pause for a second here and say that, as you've probably saw, if I can go back a second, the striking off, it's still 0.03% of the register. And the development of standards, it's not about dealing with all these allegations, so dealing with the 0.03%. The development of standards is actually dealing with all the rest of the workforce, the 99.07%, my math got wrong. So it's really about embracing, celebrating good practice as well, looking at examples of good practice and innovation. So in terms of our policy development and the development of our standards, although we always had an evidence-based methodology and process of developing those standards that involved a lot of stakeholder development, over the last 2 years, and since last November in particular, we took up a new, very systematic, consistent and comprehensive way of developing the standards. And actually, those of you who receive and read NMC Review will have a little article about it in this issue. And it's all about looking at the phases of development that are that focus on evidence that comes through our building, if you like, but various means, literature and academic research and advances in nursing and midwifery care, stakeholder engagement with the professions, the senior leaders of the professions, but also patient, public, employers in particular, educators, researchers, students. I mean, I could go on. But also all the data that we have. Regulators are very data-rich organisations, and I suppose what we're all trying to do together, and we work collaboratively with the other health regulators, but also systems regulators in the four countries of the UK, what we really need to get to is not only becoming data-rich organisations, but also data-savvy. And it's all about using our evidence, the numbers on our register, the trends that come through our register, the issues of fitness to practice, although, as I said and as I explained, they're minimal in terms of the percentage, but also the good ideas, the good practice, the innovation that comes out of events like this or visits to hospital trust universities that we have on a weekly basis. I mean, all of our directors, my chief exec, like Dr. Carter, visits every week yet another trust. So suppose it's about increasing intelligence and use it effectively and consistently in terms of standards development. I would like to give you some examples of how we're doing this at the moment and what is coming up this year and next year in terms of the development of standards. Most of you will be aware that this is, again, this time when we are reviewing the code and we're doing a complete review based on evidence that we're hoping will come from you. From today on the NMC website, we have a mini survey monkey, which is a short mini evidence call. Some of you may have seen it already. Those of you who haven't, please go and participate. It's all about us, you telling us what are your key five priorities in terms of the code and what are the areas that we should really be looking at. Obviously, we've looked at the inquiries and the reports and what's coming out of education, of research, of practice. But we also want to hear from you. And we're hoping that by the end of this process, in the next three months, we'll have a better understanding of what are the key concerns, the key areas that we need to definitely look at as part of the review. We're hoping that by early next year, springtime, we will actually publish the results of our evidence, which will not only be this mini survey monkey, but actually a lot more. We are looking at literature and academic research and also, as I explained, data that's coming through our registration function and the fitness to practice. And as we go forward, obviously, we will be using all of that for the process of revalidation to make sure it is proportionate, effective, and that it fits the mark. Instead of the standards of medicines management, you probably saw that I mentioned medicines management, prescribing as well as part of the allegations. It's actually very high in terms of percentage. We are getting a lot of phone calls about that as well through our advice line. It is an area of concern and it is an area of interest equally for a lot of members of the public and patients, but also primarily nurses and midwives themselves. We are looking at developing and updating those in line with the intelligence we're getting through yourselves and through practice. And the estimated launch of the standards are in June 2013. We are in the process of looking at the academic literature at the moment in this area and also the very significant legislative changes that are happening in this area at the moment. rather than guidance of record keeping, which is what we're having at the moment, we're looking at stretching, if you like, those into standards for record keeping, having seen that we need to be, if you like, more robust and stronger about the critical thinking and the process of using critical thinking in nursing diagnosis into a nursing theory, if you like, into being able to have effective record keeping. We understand it is not about writing and making a note, but it's actually about having looked and made an appropriate assessment and then communicating effectively across teams and with patients, carers and their families in terms of those results. Standards for delegation is another big piece of work that we're focusing at the moment, having looked at what's coming out of the reports, particularly CQC reports, having worked collaboratively with the Royal College of Nursing, the Royal College of Midwives, and other organisations, and patient organisations as well. We will be publishing those as part of the review of the code, so you will be seeing those in June 2012. And the aims of the publication are really to set absolute standards for delegation. We recognise that at the moment, the 3 to 4 standards that we have in the code are not enough. They don't have enough guidance. And this is what you are telling us, that you wish to see this, that it will support you as part of your area of practice. And my final example is advice we're currently developing for nurse and midwife leaders. And I guess this will be published earlier in the new year, we're hoping by February, March 2012. And the specific aims of this publication is really just to celebrate good practice and to look at what sort of innovation that nurse leaders and midwife leaders out there in practice, in research, in education are using and how they are using that effectively to promote, encourage and empower nursing and midwifery. It's very much about promoting the code, not only as a must, but which it is, but as a tool to support senior nursing and midwifery leaders and to emphasise their responsibilities and accountability with regard to the code. And I'll stop here.
Thank you very much, Katerina.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.